Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. The Timberwolves fell to the Raptors. They're blown out on Wednesday by 23. This is the postgame podcast. I'll tell you what happened. As near as I can tell, the Timberwolves had a 17-point lead early in the second quarter, completely collapsed. The physicality they played with early went away. We'll talk about how the Raptors solved the Timberwolves defensively, and it really wasn't that tough of a riddle to solve. And what happened to the Wolves on offense? A miserable second half. They scored just 42 points in the second half. We'll talk about what happened on the show here tonight. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. This is the postgame podcast. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Welcome in. Happy Thursday. Not so happy Thursday for Wolves fans as the Timberwolves were blown out by the Raptors on Wednesday night. We're going to break down what happened on both ends of the floor. A complete utter collapse about midway through this game. And a couple things I want to talk about. Some key takeaways. Exactly what went down north of the border on Wednesday. First of all, a big thank you to those of you that do listen to Locked On Wolves each and every day. Make us your first listen. It's greatly appreciated. A reminder, you can find the show everywhere. It's free and available on YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also at B Beacon, and that's with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. All right, so this is the postgame podcast. We'll do the key takeaway first, my biggest overall takeaway from this thing. And then we'll get into some additional key takeaways, individual studs and duds. And I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This was pretty ugly. I was warning of this stretch weeks ago when the Timberwolves were playing extremely well. We know the good injury fortune they've had, the Timberwolves, not necessarily their own roster, but the teams they've played, you know, the good teams missing their best players. The Wolves won a lot of those games. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat, right? And I said all along, you can only play the teams that are on your schedule, and you have to take care of business against the teams you're supposed to beat. And there were a couple nice wins, the big win over Denver. You know, there's a couple nice ones mixed in there. But this last five games or so, playing good teams with their best players available has been a little bit of a rude awakening. And obviously there's some other factors. Jaden McDaniels missing this entire stretch, Malik Beasley getting hurt during it, and now being out the last few games. McDaniels has been out now over 2 weeks. So those things matter too. Obviously, you know, more than half these games on the road also matters. But I think that rather than a sky's falling approach, like the Wolves are in a real funk, I think that we could say that without thinking that like the season's over and this thing's going to end immediately in the play-in tournament. But I also don't think we can just say, it's tough for competition. Of course, they're going to lose some games. I think we need to be somewhere in the middle on this. And I'll tell you why. Let's talk about this game. I want to get back to that later because obviously there's still a handful of games left that are very important. There's four games left at Denver. Friday is a massive game, and then finishing at home. Well, and then at Houston and a couple of games at home to finish the year. The Wolves are now three games behind Denver in the Western Conference. Denver's in the five spot. The Wolves are now only 2.5 behind the Jazz, who are now in the six spot after losing again. Utah's last five straight. They're 4-6 in their last 10. And the Wolves are only 2.5 back of Utah in the six spot, three back of Denver in the five spot, which is almost out of reach. The Wolves have already lost the season series to the Jazz, so no tiebreaker there. If they beat Denver on Friday, they will have the tiebreaker and effectively only be at that point two games back. Well, they will be two games back, but with the tiebreaker, it's not even a true two games back if the Wolves beat Denver Friday. So anything could still happen. Denver's got a couple of tough games left on their schedule. But at any rate, it's not looking great. The seventh seed is a near certainty at this point. And I think it's good to come to terms with that. So I want to close briefly. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, that'll be a topic on Thursday. How much is the sky falling? Or excuse me, Friday's show. I want to look at that on Friday. But tonight's show, I want to talk about the Raptors game, specifically what happened in this game. My number one key takeaway in this one is sloppiness, turnovers, right? And that's maybe if you watch this game, that was obvious in the first quarter. The Wolves had 10 first quarter turnovers, but they were still up by 10 points at the end of the first. And I talked about this on the pregame show on Wednesday. The Raptors are the best team in the league at turning opponents over. The Timberwolves have been number one most of the year for turnover rate. They're now number two. Toronto's number one. Toronto also doesn't turn the ball over. I believe they were second in the league in fewest and lowest turnover percentage on offense league-wide. The Wolves, so much of what they do is predicated on the ability to turn over opponents and limit their own turnovers, so turnover margin. And they finished this game actually only 22-17. You don't want to be minus five, but it could have been much uglier. The Raptors were sloppy too, and they just made a bunch of open three-pointers, and we'll talk about that later. But middle of the game, the Raptors, they scored between the second and third quarter, they scored 77 points, and a ton of it was just open three-pointers. The Wolves actually didn't get killed in the paint. They didn't get killed on the glass. They were a plus three on the glass. It was the turnovers and the fast break points and the made open threes. So even though the Wolves were only, which is still in minus five, isn't good, only minus five in the turnover department, it was the amount of easy transition buckets that led to for Toronto. And because of the aggressive way that Toronto played, it was a lot of live ball turnovers. There were only a couple of like charges and travels. It was a lot of live ball turnovers and just sloppy play for Minnesota. And Toronto actually plays defense fairly similarly to how Minnesota plays defense. They're active, they're aggressive, they're trapping, they're jumping passing lanes, they're trying to be physical. And for the first quarter and a half, Minnesota really matched the physicality of Toronto and exceeded it, frankly. The Wolves were up 17 points at the end of the first part of the second quarter. And they were being physical with Pascal Siakam. They were being physical with OG Anunoby. They were physical at the point of attack with Scottie Barnes and Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. The Timberwolves actually did everything they needed to do in the first roughly 15 to 16 minutes of this game. And then it completely flipped. And as soon as the Raptors kind of got back into it midway through the second quarter, they actually took the lead briefly towards the end of the quarter and then took the lead for good at the buzzer in the first half, at the buzzer of the second quarter, leading into halftime to go up 62-60 on a made three from VanVleet. You could just kind of see the Timberwolves, hang their heads, droopy shoulders, tail between their legs. It was the classic old version of the Timberwolves where, okay, well, we let them all the way back in this thing. We're screwed now. We're at Toronto. Their fans are into it, and they're just making everything. And early, though, they were making tough contested threes. As the game went on, threes weren't even contested because the sloppy offense spilled over into sloppy defense. We'll get into that next segment too. But what started the downfall was the sloppy offense. The Wolves got away with it in the first half because the Raptors were missing shots. The Wolves' defense was decent enough early. Again, aggressive, creating turnovers. The Raptors, offensively, again, missing shots, being sloppy themselves. The Wolves were turning Toronto over early. So Minnesota got away with 10 first quarter turnovers and led by 10 at the end of the first, led by 17 early in the second. But as soon as the Raptors started making threes, as soon as they got a couple of breaks, the Timberwolves' aggressiveness went away. The offensive cohesiveness, a little bit they had early went away. The sloppiness overtook the game for Minnesota, and they could not overcome what the theme, the sloppy offense theme throughout the game for the Timberwolves. They just couldn't overcome it once they got past that midway point of the second quarter. And it's a shame because Minnesota's offense was operating efficiently early, minus the turnovers. They were shooting the ball fairly well. Karl Anthony Towns was aggressive again early. Anthony Edwards had a really good game. But unfortunately, things just completely unraveled. I want to get into a couple of additional takeaways as well defensively for the Wolves. A couple of things they did well and again, just were sabotaged themselves with the turnover issues. And then we'll do individual studs and duds, a couple of interesting ones from this game. So we're going to do all that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the officially licensed NFT of the NBA. Connect with a passionate community of NBA fans across the globe and build your collection with your favorite moments from NBA history. NBA Top Shot is the future of what being an NBA fan looks like. It's part trading cards, part stock market, and part fantasy sports with a built-in loyalty program. NBA Top Shot has evolved trading cards and made it easier to buy, sell, and trade by removing the hassle of card grading, shoeboxes, and binders. Their 24/7 peer-to-peer marketplace lets you scroll through all your favorite players and teams. Once you find the moment you've been looking for, you can buy it in just a couple of clicks. Now, I hear all the time, why would I buy something that I could watch on YouTube for free? And I tell those people, it's not just about watching a highlight, it's about having ownership in the stock market of the NBA's greatest moments. And owning NBA Top Shot moments can get you access to unbuyable, once-in-a-lifetime experiences. For example, last year, Top Shot flew out a group of fans to Phoenix for Game 5 of the NBA Finals just for having Phoenix Suns moments in their collections. The following week, Top Shot flew out a group of fans to New York for the NBA Draft, and these collectors got to have dinner with four future first-round picks the night before they were drafted, plus they got to play basketball with New York Knicks forward Obi Toppin. If you sign up for Top Shot today, the best way to start is getting yourself a starter pack. You can even pull a moment of a superstar like LeBron or KD, or star rookies like Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley for just $9. head over to lockedon.nbatopshot.com to start building your collection today. Again, that's lockedon.nbatopshot.com to start building your collection today. All right. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. A reminder that for your next listen, you should check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, including yours truly. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. It's the best way to catch up on NBA action. If you watched the Wolves on Wednesday, you didn't see the rest of what went on around the league. Instead of just scrolling Twitter, perusing box scores, watching the highlight shows, check out Locked On Now. Every NBA Locked On NBA host watches their team's game, puts 60 to 90 seconds together in a video, short synopsis of what happened. It's, again, beyond the box score. You don't have to watch a full highlight show. It's all compiled into Locked On Now. So be sure to listen to that daily to stay up to date of what's going on around the league. All right. Let's talk about some additional takeaways. So I talked a little bit already about the Timberwolves' sloppiness on offense. The other thing we have to talk about is the three-point shooting. I mean, quite simply, this game was almost literally lost by the three-point shooting margin. The Timberwolves were minus seven and made threes in this game. They actually attempted one more three than Toronto, but they shot 29.7% from outside the arc. Toronto was 50%. Minnesota made seven less threes. Do the math. They scored 21 less points outside the arc. Would they lose by 23? So nearly exactly the margin. You know, the free throw shooting was pretty close to even. The Wolves were actually a plus six and made free throws in this game. The Wolves weren't bad in the paint, actually, either. It was the turnovers that led to fast break points, which we talked about already, and then the three-point shooting margin. And early, both teams were hot from outside the arc. Toronto was making tough shots. The Wolves were generating open looks on the perimeter for themselves. Again, when they weren't turning it over, they were mostly scoring early in this game. They had 30 at the end of the first. They had 60 at halftime. It's not like the Wolves couldn't score. Then in the second half, though, they stopped making open shots. The offense continued to be sloppy, and they just missed the open shots that they were able to generate. Jalen Noel was one of six outside the arc. Torian Prince was one of three, but he missed a couple of open threes, and the Wolves were trying to get back into it. Naz Reid was 0 of 3 outside the arc. Karl Anthony Towns only shot one three-pointer in this game, which can't happen. You're talking about the guy that literally won the NBA three-point shooting competition 6 weeks ago. He attempted one three-pointer in this game. Chris Finch talked post-game, blamed himself for only getting Cat 13 shots in this game. Another game that D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards both had higher usage than Towns. We haven't seen much of that. That, of course, was a big gripe of mine earlier this season, November, December, even part of January. Towns' usage rate was lagging behind Ant and D'Lo, which can't happen. He's one of the best 15 players in the league, one of the best three or four offensive players in the league. It just didn't make sense. This was a flashback to that. The Timberwolves should have gotten him the ball in the perimeter more often. The exact thing they've been doing for weeks now. Face-up situations, allow him to go one-on-one, force the Raptors to try and guard him off the dribble. Instead, we got a little bit of Towns in the post. We got a lot of pick and roll, a lot of Towns setting screens, which included a couple of offensive fouls. He actually turned it over seven times in this game. Towns did. He had five personal fouls, and just not a really clean game for him either. But he still shot 7 of 13. He only got to the free throw line three times. Could have a couple more times, of course, per usual. Could have gotten a couple more calls that he just didn't get. But this was a function of not getting Towns the ball in the right spot on the floor. And then he made some nice passes. He only had three assists in this game, but the Wolves missed some wide open threes. Again, the guys that come to mind, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel, Torian Prince, probably the biggest culprits. Oh, D'Angelo Russell, obviously, another bad offensive game from him. I talked extensively about D'Lo on Wednesday's show, both him and Anthony Edwards having high variance scoring nights lately, not scoring anywhere near their averages on a consistent basis. You're having, you know, these 30-point games down to 6-point games, or in the case of D'Lo in this game, 13 points on 15 shots, 1 of 7 outside the arc. Not a good game from D'Angelo Russell. He was a game worse, minus 22, and just didn't really have control of the offense. He only had three assists, too. It's not like he had a nice assist night and just couldn't make shots. And he squeezed the trigger 15 times in just 28 minutes, making only three shots from the field. We'll talk, of course. He'll come up again, by the way, in studs and duds. I think you can tell which side of the ledger he'll be on. But another poor game from D'Lo. He was one of those main culprits missing shots from outside the arc. You take D'Lo, Naz, Jalen Noel, Torian Prince together, guys that you rely on to hit threes, they combined to make only three threes in this game on 19 attempts, 3 of 19 for those guys. And those, again, all guys that are in catch and shoot situations. When Ant and Karl Anthony Towns and Patrick Beverley are creating, you're relying on D'Lo, Torian Prince, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel. These guys have to hit the open threes. They did not do it in this game. Talked already about the sloppiness offensively. Defensively, the Timberwolves, again, early weren't bad. The first quarter was good. It was aggressive. It was physical. I was super worried about the physicality of the Raptors and how the Wolves would handle that. Of course, Minnesota lost to Toronto already this year by double figures. Toronto held the Wolves under 100 points in that game and almost did that again here. Back the last game before the All-Star break, remember Anthony Edwards was banged up. He'd sprained his ankle the night before and missed the second half against Charlotte. The Timberwolves were, frankly, a little bit disinterested leading into the All-Star break, and they got beat. The Timberwolves opened this game physical. And I, as I said on Wednesday's show, the Raptors aren't a good matchup because of their length, because of their physicality, because they don't turn the ball over and they force opponent turnovers, and turnover margin is so important to the Wolves. Well, layer in the fact that Jaden McDaniels didn't play in this game, obviously, sprained ankle, has been out more than 2 weeks. His length would have been really important. And in a game when the Wolves just continue to clang shots off the rim from outside the arc, 11 of 37, under 30% from three, Malik Beasley would have made a big difference too. And actually, Jaden McDaniels had been shooting the ball better the second half of the season before he got hurt. He would have made a big difference in this game on both ends of the floor, but especially defensively against the length of the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors are just a massive team. Basically everybody they run out there, except for Fred VanVleet, has significant size for their role. It's Gary Trent Jr., by the way. He would be one of the other guys who is maybe more normal sized, but still a good sized player. 29 points on 13 shots, 6 made threes. Of course, he dropped 30 on the Wolves at Target Center back in mid-February. So two big games against his dad's former team and against his Gary Trent Jr., obviously a Minnesota native. I went to high school in the Twin Cities. So he scored, 59 combined points in the two games against the Wolves this year. But the Wolves, at the point of attack, aggressive early, effective early. Vanderbilt was super aggressive on the perimeter, trying to slow down Siakam and Anunoby. D'Angelo Russell was pressed up a lot early. The Wolves were actually, Jalen Noel, when he came into the game in the second quarter, this was actually right when the game kind of shifted mid-second quarter. Jalen Noel was picking up on the other side of half court. Essentially in the backcourt, he was picking up the Raptors ball handlers, trying to be super aggressive defensively. And eventually the Raptors just kind of handled the pressure and they went about their business and they shot 50% from the floor, 50% from three, had some turnover issues of their own early when the Wolves were being aggressive, but ultimately played that against the Timberwolves, used it against them. Were able to build this big lead. Point of attack defense. And remember, the Wolves early in the year were playing a lot of this blitzy and aggressive high wall pick and roll coverage. They've mixed in switching. They've mixed in a little bit of drop coverage. We didn't see as much of that in this game. They've mixed in some zone. Didn't see as much of that either, which didn't make sense with the way the Raptors were shooting the ball. And the Wolves just weren't communicating. They were just missing rotations. They weren't exiting out to contest shots on the perimeter. And just a flat-out bad defensive game. And teams have now figured out ways to beat all of the Wolves' coverages, essentially, with no length of Jaden McDaniels, with a lack of fresh legs, obviously, at this point of the season. Obviously, every team's in that same boat. But the aggressive style of defense that worked so well early this season is not working for Minnesota right now. And they're just not good enough at some of these other coverages. And I said this a few weeks ago as they started to mix it in. If the Timberwolves could just use this couple of weeks to improve at drop coverage, to improve at switching concepts, to improve at zone defense, to make those effective as they get into this tough stretch against good teams and eventually into the play-in and hopefully the playoffs, then we'd be in good shape. Unfortunately, all the stuff that worked against the Oklahoma Cities and the Portlands and the starless Miami, the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heats of the world, that's not working against Toronto. It's not going to work on Friday against Denver. It's not working against Boston. Unless something changes here, those defensive concepts have to get tightened up, or the Wolves are just going to have no choice but to go all out and play a high wall defense all the time, certainly to get through a play-in game. And again, that could work for one game. The Wolves could blitz the pick and roll like crazy against the Clippers. And obviously now they have Paul George back, but they could be aggressive on the perimeter, try and generate these turnovers. But then you get into a seven-game series against a Memphis. And I mean, Ja Morant's going to kill drop coverage. Memphis is going to, Desmond Bane's going to drop threes all day if you let the Grizzlies do whatever they want in the pick and roll game. That's a conversation for another day, but that pops into my head when the Wolves are struggling to cover against a mediocre three-point shooting team and frankly, a fairly average offense in the Toronto Raptors. I can't help but think, what happens as we move into the play-in and the playoffs here in just a couple of weeks. All right, let's close the game by talking, or close the show, I should say, by talking individual studs and duds. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends at BetOnline. after months of playing college basketball has determined the top teams in the Final Four will determine this year's national champion this upcoming weekend. Of course, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info, from all the latest odds, contests, and player props, you name it. You can get, of course, NBA odds there. I'm guessing, as of this recording, betonline.net does not have the odds for Wolves Nuggets on Friday. I'm guessing, though, at Denver, relatively healthy Nuggets team. Obviously, still no Jamal Murray, still no Michael Porter. But the Wolves will, I'm sure, still be missing McDaniels, certainly still missing Beasley. I mean, this is probably a 2.5, 3-point Denver. Denver will be favored by 2.5 or 3, maybe even 3.5 on Friday night. So we'll take a peek at that when we preview the game on Friday for Friday's show. But, you know, check the Wolves line there before every game. Of course, BetOnline remains the best spot for all your latest sport developments, including podcasts and reviews for all the leagues this season. And it's not just basketball either. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's put a bow on this one. Put it behind us. Look forward to Minnesota, Denver on Friday night. Let's talk about individual studs and duds. For the Timberwolves, the number one stud in this game is Anthony Edwards. No question about it. It's nice to see him play so well. He got into a little bit of foul trouble mid-game, but that's really the only blemish on this one. Defensively, he was pretty lackadaisical, I should say, kind of with the rest of the team. Like, second part of the second quarter on, the Wolves' defense was very shoulder slumped, you know, not attentive defensively, just kind of occasionally gambling. It wasn't consistent, locked in, aggressive like the first quarter and a half of this game. Offensively, though, and overall, Anthony Edwards was good. I mean, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block. He turned it over 4 times and again had the foul trouble, but he shot 10 of 17, made 4 of his 7 three-point attempts. Weirdly enough, he shot the ball 17 times, 10 two-point field goal attempts, 0 free throws attempted for Anthony Edwards in this game. And again, this is a trend we've seen of him. I talked about this on Wednesday's show when I did the conversation about Ant's offensive high variance lately, D-Lo's. D-Lo's is mostly just missing threes. Ant's is he's not getting to the free throw line. He's making his threes at a higher clip. His outside shooting's improved, which is obviously outstanding, but he's not getting to the free throw line anymore. Part of that's avoiding contact. Part of it is, I think the knees really plural are bothering him. And I think he's trying to avoid that contact. Isn't quite as explosive at the rim. He's not going into the contact like we saw earlier this season, and generally not getting to the rim as much. We're seeing more pull-ups for mid-range for Ant. But great to see the threes going at a higher rate. And he's been, this was a good game for Anthony Edwards overall, despite the defensive shortcomings. There really weren't that many guys that played that well for the Wolves in this game. I'm going to give a stud to Jared Vanderbilt. It's been a minute since we've given Vando a stud. And there were some issues here. He was a little bit, missed some bunnies at the rim as he tends to do. 10 points, 7 rebounds in 21 minutes. He wasn't used as much in the second half. This is kind of the, you know, we know that they're managing his minutes a little bit with the quad issue that has been lingering for a couple of months for Vando. And, you know, in a game that was double digits, what he was doing early in the game wasn't as needed late. Weirdly enough, he had no fouls committed in this game in 21 minutes, despite his aggressive press-up defense on the perimeter. 10 points on 4 of 8 shooting, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block, 2 turnovers for Vando in 21 minutes. But he was active. It was a big part of the Wolves' hot start to this game, building that first quarter, early second quarter lead. And again, not used nearly as much as the game went on, because also the Wolves were searching for some offense. So a solid game for Vando overall. Naz Reid's going to get my third stud in this one. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in 19 minutes, 3 of 7 shooting. He did miss all 3 three-pointers, but he got to the line 3 times. I felt like he had more than 2 blocks, especially in that second quarter stint. The Wolves' bench early second quarter was really effective, and that's what built the Wolves' lead from 10 to 17, was essentially the bench plus D'Lo. But then it all collapsed with the bench on the floor. That's what, I mean, it collapsed before Towns even got back into the game. But I don't think it was really Naz's fault. Naz played well. He controlled the paint fairly well when he's in the game. Again, the Wolves are actually a plus 3 on the glass. They actually blocked 9 shots to the Raptors' 3 in this game. So it wasn't a matter of completely, you know, like losing the physicality battle in the paint like we've seen happen so often this year. Again, it was the 3-point defense and the sloppiness on offense more than anything else. Point of attack defense to some extent. But for the most part, Kat and Naz, Vando, they were pretty good in the paint against a difficult Raptors lineup. It was really the size and the length of the wing players and the guards that gave a Jaden McDaniels and Malik Beasley-less Timberwolves team some trouble. They gave Jalen Noel trouble. They gave D'Lo, obviously, a lot of trouble. Patrick Beverley, Torian Prince really frustrated the Wolves' backcourt in this game. All right, duds. Pretty easy in this one. I'm actually going to name two because I'm feeling like that's what this game deserves. D'Angelo Russell, miserable performance, 13 points on 15 shots. He did get to the line 8 times, which was nice, but he was 6 of 8 at the line, 1 of 7 outside the arc, 3 assists, 1 turnover, just 4 rebounds for D'Lo in 28 minutes. A game worse, minus 22 early. He was pressing, missing shots short once again. He had a couple of nice assists mixed in there. And then as the game went on, he just continued to just miss. We talked about his game. I don't want to rehash Wednesday's show. Go back and listen to it. I guess you want to hear me complain about how bad D'Lo shot the ball over the past 10, 15 games, but the shooting is miserable. This is going to be a career worst 3-point shooting season for him. Overall, he's having his best season since his All-Star year in Brooklyn, arguably better overall. If the shooting percentages were just in line with his career averages, we'd be talking about this as a season that probably should have been worthy of an All-Star berth this year. He was a borderline All-Star leading into the break, but the last 4+ weeks have not been good for D'Angelo Russell, and this game is no exception to that. Torian Prince also, I'm gonna go 3 duds in this game because I mean this was bad. Torian Prince gets a dud, 2 of 9 shooting, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 of 3 outside the arc. Missed a couple of open 3-pointers, was pressing offensively, trying to make things happen in the paint. Couldn't do that. A couple times tried to take a charge, no avail. 2 turnovers in the game for Torian. I'm also going to give a dud to Jalen Noel, 1 of 7 shooting, 1 of 6 on 3-point attempts. He did have a couple steals and a block, a couple nice defensive plays for Noel. But if he's not, those nice defensive plays don't offset the multitude of poor defensive plays that Noel typically gives us. And if he shoots 1 of 7 from the field and misses 5 threes, that doesn't add up for a good night for the Wolves bench. Prince and Noel combined, again, the two biggest, with no Malik Beasley and no Jaden McDaniels, those are the two guys the Timberwolves are relying on entirely to knock down open threes. They combined to shoot 3 of 16 in this game, 2 of 9 outside the arc. Combined in 43 minutes played, they got to the line combined 2 times, made 1 shot. So Noel, Prince, Timberwolves bench, despite, you know, it was kind of that first 4 or 5 minutes of the second quarter, very good. The rest of the game, terrible. Just not a good performance from the bench. So is the sky falling? No. They've played a tough schedule. McDaniels is out. Beasley's out. They've played most of these teams well, even though this ended up being a blowout loss. The first quarter and a half were impressive. They've had those stretches against good teams. I know that doesn't matter once we talk about the playoffs and obviously the play-in as well. We'll see how they do against Denver. If they can't get up for that game and stay up over the course of the game and stay with it and aggressive, then we're going to have bigger problems. I think I may have a different tune if things, you know, go downhill extremely quickly in the Mile High City on Friday night. All right, that's all I have for you today. Friday's show, I do want to talk about the bigger picture, what the last couple of weeks has told us. We'll also preview Wolves Nuggets. We haven't seen the Nuggets here in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, and they played well against Denver the last time they saw them. However, Denver's, just like the Wolves up until the last week, has been fantastic the second half of the season. So we'll talk about Wolves Nuggets on Friday's show as well. Legion to the weekend with Denver on Friday night, Houston on Sunday. It's all upcoming here on the show. Thank you again to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow the show on Twitter. That's at Locked On T Wolves. And my account is at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Reminder that Locked On Wolves is, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder, after you make Locked On Wolves your first listen, you can make your second listen Locked On NBA. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.